السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have truly entered the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Millions of people are assembling at the noble sanctuary where they will discharge a duty known as Hajj. We should pray that Allah Almighty accept their endeavors and grant each person a Hajj Mabrur. The Ata of Allah Almighty, the generosity of Allah Almighty, is not restricted to a place or to a time. But the generosity of Allah Almighty is widespread. It doesn't matter where a person is, he can receive from the Sakhawat, the generosity of Allah Almighty. Indeed, the people that are assembling in the noble sanctuary, they are at a place that is very dear to Allah Almighty. But it does not mean that we cannot receive from the generosity of Allah Almighty in our hometown. Allah Almighty is Rahim and Rahman, and His Rahmat and His beneficence, His benevolence, is always there for us to take from. That's why last week we made mention that Nabiya Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُتَعَبَّدْ لَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ عَشْرِ أَيَّامِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. Before I translate this, I would like to draw the attention of my congregation to a norm. And the norm is that the month of Ramadan is the best. But according to the theologians and according to the hadith, that is not totally correct. That is not totally correct. So much so that the scholars have made mention that the days of Dhul-Hijjah, in particular, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, are even greater in merit than the days of Ramadan. So the nights of Ramadan cannot be surpassed when it comes to merit. But the days of Dhul-Hijjah are greater in merit than the days of Ramadan. So basically, it doesn't matter where a person is, he's performing Hajj, or he is in Brisbane, the days that he is passing through, and I am referring to the first 10 days, are out there, and they hold a lot of merit, a lot of fadilat, a lot of reward, and it is up to us to extract how much we want. We will extract in proportion to how much effort we make. And I made mention last week that the effort that we have to focus upon is not upon how much we should be doing, but how much we should not be doing. And the example that I want to relate is that the fuqaha make mention of purifying a well. So in the old days they used to have wells. And if an animal dropped into the well and died, there was a procedure of pulling out buckets, drawing out buckets. And at the end of that, the well will be labeled as pure. So if an animal dropped into the well and died, You have to pull out 20 buckets or 30 buckets or 40 buckets or 50 buckets, so on and so forth. So it was basically dependent upon the size of the animal. So the animal that dropped in, if it was a bird, a sparrow, or a animal or creature that is similar to a bird in size, then you will have to pull out 20 buckets or 30 buckets, and then the well will become pure. Meaning that now you can draw the water, it is tahir, it is mutahir, it can purify you. But there was one condition. And the condition was that before you start pulling out buckets, you have to pull out the dead animal. If you don't pull out the dead animal, and you start drawing out the buckets, you can draw out 100 or 200, it will still remain as impure. Now of course there's some intricacy, there's some fine details pertaining to this law that I do not need to get into. But this example is very relevant to the point that I'm trying to relate. And that is that the day has so much, these days have so much, and the nights have so much. We can put so much into our well. But first of all, we need to take out the bad. Because if the bad lies inside, it doesn't matter how much we take, the well of spirituality will not be of any benefit. And that's why I made mention last week that what we should be focusing upon is not the fasting, not the Qiyamul Layl. That is secondary. What we should be focusing upon is purifying the well, purifying the inside, to take out everything that should not be there. Once it is clean, you can place one drop, or two drops, or three drops, or one bucket, or two buckets, it will be of benefit. But if we don't pull out the wrong, it doesn't matter how many liters we throw into the well, it will be of no benefit. And this is something that we have to take seriously, and we need to reprogram the mind. Because the mind of the Muslim Ummah has been distorted at a level. Because we focus upon doing things, but we don't really focus upon that we should not be doing. Gunah se bach jau, gunahon se bach jau, neki na bhi karo, kuch fayda hoga. Nekiyan karte jau, gunah bhi karte jau, koi fayda nahi. And this concept is echoed in the seerah of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there were two neighbors. One neighbor used to commit to good deeds, but that was only compulsory, the deeds that were compulsory. That she was very good to her neighbor. The other one used to do a lot of good, used to commit to many optional deeds, but was very bad to the neighbor. So what was the ruling of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The one that was good to the neighbor, even if her a'mal compared to the a'mal of the other lady was little, she has succeeded. So we need to commit to a true fast. The true fast is from top to bottom, from side to side, I'm not going to do any wrong. Now that is very, very hard. Let's look at this practically. Not to commit any wrong, verbally, physically, is pretty hard. So I'm going to give you an example. And then I'm going to relate it to the hadith. So I was thinking about this all day in the morning, and Allah put it in my mind. 20 years ago, we used to go to the gym. People used to go to the gym. So when a person goes to the gym, he becomes very active when it comes to health. So you won't find a person eating a Mars bar in the gym. You won't find that. So basically he will take a protein shake or a protein bar, and he will jump onto the treadmill or on the stationary bicycle, and he will work out. That's what he's going to do. It's very rare that you find a person in the gym eating something that he should not be eating. But that same person, 20 years ago, when he used to walk outside, could he uphold that same level of seriousness? No. So he used to come out, the mahal, the environment of the gym did not allow him to eat things that he should not be eating. But when he used to go out, he used to drop his guard. So after 20 years, what did they introduce? Apps. They introduced apps. So now even when you're outside the gym, you know how much you're eating. You know your intake. You know what you are consuming. And so much so that even now they know how many steps you are taking. So a person at the end of the day, after every 2 or 3 hours, he looks at the app. It's not in the gym. He's outside the gym. But these apps are basically doing the work that the gyms used to do. So we're outside and we look at the apps and we say, oh, I need to walk 10,000 steps and I've only done 8,000. You're outside the gym and you're going to make another effort of completing at least that 10,000 step. If a person has taken the calories of the day and the day is only halfway through, he will stop eating. He'll stop eating. So basically they have come with external gadgets that allow us to be connected with the gym, where a person doesn't do wrong by his body. Does it make sense? Now when we're in the masjid, we're all fine. When we're in the masjid, we're fine. It's very rare that you find somebody doing something wrong. This is the gym, the spiritual gym. So it's very rare that you find somebody doing wrong. But when we go out, we need the app that keeps reminding us and keeps us stable. So that app has been given to us in the Quran. And that app once again has been given to us in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So the hadith of Targhib, فَأَكْثِرُوهُنَّ فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. This is the app. ایک ہے اللہ کو یاد کرنا اور ایک ہے اللہ کو یاد رکھنا. بڑا فرق. یاد کرنا, یاد رکھنا. یاد کرنا تو مسجد میں ہوتا ہے, یاد رکھنا مسجد کے باہر نہیں ہوتا. We need the app. One is to remember Allah and one is to sustain that remembrance. That is very different. So when a person falters or he makes a mistake, basically he has forgotten Allah at that moment. So what is that app? That app is the remembrance of Allah. It is the dhikr of Allah. So when we go outside the masjid, we need to keep remembering Allah. When we remember Allah Almighty, that remembrance is a blessing in disguise. It will not allow us to do something that is harmful to our soul. That remembrance. And that's why the Nabi of Allah says, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ, in the 10 days, make a lot of La ilaha illallah, make a lot of Allahu Akbar and the dhikr of Allah Almighty. Now there are so many expressions in Islam, so many adhkar in Islam, that when you study them, and then you study the reward attached to them, you are blown away. So how can such a small expression carry so much reward? And the reason behind it is the Nabi of Allah, and Allah wants us to make the dhikr. Because we cannot succeed and hold this lifestyle outside if the remembrance of Allah is not a part outside. So that's why there's so much reward. Ye kar lo, ye chota sa amal kar lo, itna ajr milega. You do this little much, you get so much reward, and a person is encouraged. If the reward was little, a person won't be encouraged. So the Nabi of Allah says, because the treasures of Allah is unlimited, unseen, that if you make this small amal outside, you'll get so much reward. Now this is encouraging. Now a person will make that dhikr. And it is very beneficial because this is the app. This is the spiritual app. Once Nabi Akrim said to the Sahaba, does any one of you want to commit to an amal that will entitle you to the reward of the mountain of Uhud? Now, mountain of Uhud is the largest mountain in that area. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, ahamme wa taqatni la astati. We do not have the power. I do not have the power to make an amal that will entitle me to the mountain of Uhud. The Nabi of Allah says, Subhanallah once, mountain of Uhud. Alhamdulillah once, you get the mountain of Uhud. La ilaha illallah once, you get the mountain of Uhud. Why did the Nabi of Allah say this? Now, was the Nabi of Allah making this up? No. It came from above, from Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty wants us to remember Him. Because He knows that in His remembrance is our salvation. In this dhikr is our salvation. So He attaches so much reward to it. It is just like the father says, look, if you work 2 hours today, 2 hours, I will give you the wage of 8 hours. He just wants him to work because he's a bludger. He's a bludger. He doesn't want to work. So the father said, look, bas dogent. Just work 2 hours, I'll give you the wage of 8 hours. So this is encouraging. So the son says, alright, it will please my father, number one. And number two, I only have to work 2 hours. The remaining group is working 8 hours, so he'll go and work. Likewise, Allah Almighty knows that we're very weak. So he said, remember me. Remember me for a few moments, I'll give you so much reward. Umme Hani binti Abi Talib, the sister of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who was very old. She was old and she was fragile, brittle, she was weak. So she couldn't sit for prolonged periods of time and remember Allah and read Quran and tahajjud and qiyamul layl. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, main toh buri ho gaya. I'm old and I'm very, very weak. I want to do something in the short time that I can commit to because of my physical ability. But I want to gain so much. So the Nabi of Allah said, I'll tell you something. You can sit down, it will only take you a few moments, but the reward that you will get is enormous, it's gigantic. So the Nabi of Allah said, Subbihillah mi'ata tasbiha. Say Subhanallah 100 times. This is what we need to do in these days. That is our spiritual app, young and old. No one is free from this. We all need to do it, young and old. Say ya Subhanallah 100 times. فَإِنَّهَا تَعَدِلُ لَكِ مِئَةَ رَكَبَ تُعْتِقِينِهَا مِنْ وُلْدِ إِسْمَعِيلِ. So if you say Subhanallah 100 times, let me pause here. Reopen the hadith that we just discussed a few moments ago. One Subhanallah is equivalent to the mountain of Uhud. So this is one fadilat, one merit, one reward. It's just like a person goes to the gym and he says, look, if you get fit, it will address your cholesterol, number one benefit. It will address your blood pressure, second benefit. Number three, you will lose your gut, third benefit. You will feel energetic, number four, value. So you will say in one hadith, mountain of Uhud, another hadith, something different. These are all benefits. The benefit is very diverse. So the Nabi of Allah says that if you say Subhanallah 100 times, it is like freeing 100 slaves from the descendant of Ismail. 100 slaves. How long does Subhanallah take? But it is a matter of understanding, valuing, taking it seriously. And I say to the youngsters, this is the only salvation for us. You know, a lot of people asking, Imam Sahib, how can we control ourselves outside? We need to turn the app on. We need to turn the app on. Because everything outside is taking us away from the mahol and this environment in which we place ourselves. Outside is not conducive. Let's be serious. Let's be realistic. Outside is not conducive. True. When we go outside, it's very, very hard to uphold this level. It's very hard to uphold the principles by which we are living. So we need to activate that app. We need to turn it on straight away. So focus upon the reward. And the reward naturally will encourage us to make the dhikr. And once we make the dhikr, we'll be protected.
Ek aadmi Allah ko yaad kar raha hai, to kaise Allah usko batakne dega?
A person is remembering Allah, even if it is without the mind, it is by the tongue. How will Allah Almighty allow him to be derailed? And then the Nabi of Allah says to Hazrat Hani bin Abi Talib, that you say, وَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ مِئَةَ تَحْمِينَ, say Alhamdulillah 100 times, فَإِنَّهَا تَعَدِلُ لَكِ مِئَةَ فَرَسْ مُسْرَجَةٍ مُلْجَمَةٍ تَحْمِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Say Alhamdulillah 100 times. It is like giving 100 horses fully equipped with the saddles and the reins in the path of Allah Almighty. Takbirillah 100 takbira. Say Allahu Akbar 100 times. فَإِنَّهَا تَعَدِلُ لَكِ مِئَةَ بَدَنَ مُقَلَّدَةٍ مُتَقَبَّلَةٍ. Say Allahu Akbar 100 times. It is like giving one or sacrificing 100 camels. One camel has 7 shears. Badana means camel. One camel has 7 shears. Saat qurbaniya. It is like giving one or sacrificing 100 camels with the straps of sacrifice tied to their necks and accepted by Allah Almighty. Muqallab. The straps of sacrifice tied to the necks. Wahallilillah mi'a. And say La ilaha illallah 100 times. Tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. It will fill the space between the sky and the earth. How easy is that? That's what we need to do. Now keep in mind the night. We spoke about the days. Okay. We spoke about the days last week. We're going to speak about the nights. Remember the nights. Each night is equivalent to the night of Qadr. Qiyamu laylatil Qadr. It is like the establishment of the night of Qadr. So if a person commits to the ibadat of Allah Almighty in these nights, it is like he has acquired the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Now let's go a few Jumu'ahs back. I made mention the fazilat, the importance of establishing Fajr and Isha in Jama'ah. The riwayat of Hazrat Usman Ghani in Muslim, من صلى العشاء في جماعة فكأنما قام نصف الليل وَمَنْ صَلَّ الصُّبْحِ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ فَكَأَنَّمَا صَلَّ اللَّيْلَ كُلَّا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. A person who establishes Isha in Jama'ah, it is like he has worshipped Allah half the night. And if a person establishes Fajr, meaning he establishes Isha and Fajr in Jama'ah, it is like he has established Ibadat the whole night. And this condition of فِي جَمَاعَةٍ is for the men. For the women, this is redundant. Jama'ah is not a condition for the women. They establish Fajr and they establish Isha in their time at their home, they will always get that reward. So for these 9 or 10 days, we should all make a firm commitment that we're going to pray Isha and Fajr in Jama'ah in the mosque. And we make a further intention that this endeavor of 9 or 10 days will allow us to be punctual with the Isha and the Fajr in the masjid for time to come. But we start off little. The goal is Isha and Fajr. Because I want the entire night to be a night of ibadat. If we can do that much, and that is the minimum, Isha in Jama'ah, Fajr in Jama'ah for these 9 or 10 days, it is like Qiyamu Laylatul Qadr. We're going to get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Inshallah, on the 9th, the 10th, 11th, 12th and 13th. So there's 23 prayers. 23 prayers. So the 9th for us is Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday and Tuesday at Asr will end the takbirat that we are going to make. So after each prayer, we're going to make takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Walillahi alhamd. And we should not be shy. The entire masjid, after the compulsory prayer, should echo with this dhikr. Not undertone, we should be loud. Allah wants to hear us recite this dhikr. So on Friday, after Salatul Fajr, the takbirat will start, and they will end on Tuesday at Asr time. Allah Rabbul Izzat allow these days and these nights to be of benefit to each one of us. And Allah Almighty allow us to attain His Rada, His grace. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.